This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number four of the G-Pack Nation. There was a story today that a Dallas Cowboy had been shot in the leg. And we'll get you the latest on that story. That was debunked. We'll get you debunking of that here coming up in just a couple of minutes. As it's hour number four of the Nation, and day three of Broadus joining our radio clubhouse. So let's get you the top sports stories of the day. And one of the biggest developments is what Jason Witten had to say last night. You know, that he hopes he can be back with the Cowboys, and he does plan to play, but doesn't know where it's going to be. It does sound like he's not going to be back with the Cowboys, but things could change, right? What's the market look like, and how do those conversations go once we get into March? Let me ask you this, though. If you missed football so much, why do you think he left football for a year? Do those two ideas contradict each other? You know, did it take failing at broadcasting? Why this undying love for the game now when you don't want to walk away, when 2 years ago it seemed like you were looking for a way out? I don't know. It just doesn't add up to me.
That's the problem I have.
Oh, really?
That's the real problem I have. You know, and he came back to, you know, he went out there. It was broadcasting. Took a lot of heat. You know, I working with Booger and Joe Testore, probably not the greatest thing in the world to do.
Yeah,
but it surprises me that being on an iconic brand, Monday Night Football, you know, you talk about the great television shows of all time, Gunsmoke, MASH, Monday Night Football, all these great shows, all these long-run programs. You know, and he tries to tell us about perseverance and, you know, it's in the dirt, the answer's in the dirt and all that. Go out and get help. You know, if you're a bad broadcaster, go out and get some help. There's people that will help you. I mean, at the Cowboys, they had a guy, Jerry Madelon, they brought in to help us with TV, help us with things, how we present ourselves and all that.
Cool.
There are ways to make yourself better. I'm really surprised that Witten, just after 1 year, said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, how do you – it's not like he's on the fifth or sixth game on Fox or NBC or CBS or one of those things. He's not that guy. You know, he's a guy that was on the premier – football show, if you think about it. I mean, Monday Night, it's iconic. So go get help. Try and be better at it. You're telling us all this time about, you know, how you have to stick with it, keep going, keep fighting, all these things. And then you come back to the star because it's comfortable.
So do you think it makes him look like maybe one more of those players that just depended on his talent to get ahead?
He got his feelings hurt. Hmm. You know, and I understand it. That's tough. Being on Monday Night Football is tough. You know, I mean, you're going to have criticism, but, you know, he's always taught us to go be better. Go work on your craft. Be better. You know? And to just leave after 1 year?
It's not Mamba.
Yeah. No. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, and I'm not criticizing the player, but it's why would you just not fight through it like you did for 16 years as a player?
Yeah.
You know, that's what bothers me. And you know what? The new staff here, he needs to go on. If you want to go play football somewhere else, go play football. We've determined that. You know, you're standing in the way now. Last year, it was a good thing. Okay, we got you back for a year. Great. But now it's about Blake Jarwin. It's about other things. It's about Dalton Schultz. It's about maybe drafting another tight end. Yeah. It's about somebody else. It's time to move on from here. But I'm disappointed in Witten that he did not work as hard at broadcasting. And I'm not saying he didn't do his job. But I'm surprised with all the criticism that he didn't say, okay, I'd get some help. And then after the second year, if it didn't work, then move on. I get it.
Yeah, people don't like to see, at the first sign of adversity, you quit.
Right.
That's not the things we look up to our icons in the world of sports for at all.
16-year career.
I do want to try to have a little bit of sympathy or whatever it is, sympathy, I'm not quite sure in this case. But, you know, and I've gone after Witten in the past, but more it was about the organization. I think it can be hard to know what you want late in your career as an athlete. And you want to keep playing, but you're hearing about people saying you're not the same, that your family wants you around, but you don't know if you have value outside of the sport. You don't know what your identity is after the sport. So I do think it could be a confusing time for players around that age.
He had value. He was on Monday Night Football. with no broadcasting experience, he got one of the premier jobs in the country.
Yeah.
For television sports or for just television.
Yeah.
You know, and after 1 year, you're like, you know, he got beat up a little bit. And I understand.
A lot.
Yeah.
Maybe more than any
Yeah,
analyst.
But that's what I'm saying. Go get training. But working
Tony did. I mean, he was up there in a booth out in the Hall of Fame game, well, not even really broadcasting, just chilling with Jim Nantz to get reps in.
That's what I'm saying, though. Is it Witten, or is it the fact that Tessitore and Booger were so bad that Tony Romo is having success because, and is Tony Romo going to find out that maybe leaving Jim Nantz is not the right thing to do?
That's going to be interesting. If Tony ends up with an inexperienced play-by-play guy that does not know how to let him do his thing.
Right.
Because part of Nance's genius is to always know when to be quiet, and it comes into play all the time in his career.
Right.
I think you could tell, though, that Romo's good at that job and Witten's not good at that job.
Yeah.
And maybe he could have worked and been better.
And maybe it won't be as smooth with Tony, but there's some clear criteria for how you're good at it.
Yeah, I think he's good at it. The weird thing is, like, for Witten, I don't know. It's just, it all seems so strange that a guy, it's all about the work ethic.
That's what I'm saying.
But not even about the not doing that for the booth, but it's just, it's so weird because if you loved playing so much, you wouldn't have left. Like you thought it was over or that you had this great opportunity or whatever.
Right.
And when it didn't work, it was like, oh, maybe I do love football again. Well, you loved it enough to leave the team. That was after the first round of the draft. Like, what a weird time. It was just the whole thing was bizarre. It was just all bizarre.
Absolutely. It is. And, you know, I think part of it costs his reputation as the hard worker a little bit. I do think, you know, it's hard to know when to say goodbye. And then sometimes you walk away from something and then you realize how stupid you were for not appreciating it. And it's hard to know what is going to make you happy, right? I mean, many of us, we get married multiple times to somebody that it wasn't meant to be, and we should have known, but it's difficult to live. You know, it's difficult to have the answers in life sometimes.
I just think that to me, though, I've always seen him as a guy that's the hard work, and he's always told us everything about the hard work and how, you know, you have to keep going at it. And then, so he doesn't even talk about broadcasting anymore. It's like, coaching, into coaching now.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know how you could get such a great opportunity. I've got a great opportunity working here. I really have. I mean, I went from being a scout, DallasCowboys.com, to being on radio full time. We'll see how this thing all works out.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give every ounce of energy that I can every single day because of the opportunity. You know, and I'm not saying I'm Jason Witten, but I understand when he was playing football, that's how he took it. Every day I struggled. Every day I fought, you know. And I think it's sad that now he's now we're talking about him having to walk away as a football player where he walked away 2 years ago.
Well, you know, you're evaluating players at a combine. You're getting a feel for their character. Would you hesitate to name him a member of the coaching staff? Thinking, well, here you hit adversity. It wasn't easy. And you turtled. You didn't bow up to the challenge. You escaped the challenge. Or is football coaching similar enough to playing that you think he'd roll with that punch just fine?
It was something. I love Jason Witten. I was on the staff that brought him here. I have the utmost respect for him. But there's a little side of me now that has that why. Why? Why did you take an opportunity and not really see it through?
All right. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And there you have it. Brought us going after Witten a little bit.
I would offer my guess as to why he did. Because your career is almost over. And you know it's almost over, and you're like, yeah, I love playing football, but I don't know if I ever get this Monday Night Football opportunity again. It's sitting in front of me now, and I can do this for 20 years. Then you get there, and part of you is, man, I miss playing, but the bigger part is probably, whoops, I'm not going to do this for 20 years because I'm not good at it.
Yeah, maybe so Tony made it look easy.
Yeah, now the pull back to the field is a little stronger. Like, I missed it, and I'm not going to keep this job.
All right.
Go work on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
You can get a lot better.
You can.
I've seen people go from nothing to very dynamic entertainers in, you know, the space of it takes a lot of hard work and desire in a couple years.
Thanks, Gavin.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about you. Freaking natural over here. Just stepped on the scene, started entertaining day one. No winner. Okay.
That was a great game. No winner was.
Let's go over here as we give you the top stories that have been developing. At 5 o'clock every day, Texas police debunked the rumor that Cowboys receiver Amari Cooper had been shot in a parking garage. The DPD issued the statement saying, yes, it was a false report. So if you were cruising around earlier and you heard that, it was not true. and Amari is A-OK. Saw Dez tweeting that Amari had just texted him, and it's all good. So multiple sources reported.
What's got to be going on in your life to be the random person who's like, oh, man, just had my Cheerios. I'm going to fire off an Amari Cooper got shot tweet. What are you doing?
I don't know. There are people that are waiting for big news to break, and then they pretend to have insight and see if they can go viral and get thousands of followers, right? So is it that guy, but it's just a slow news day? So it's like, well, let me just take a complete shot in the dark here. I'm not going to try to piggyback a big story that's going on. I'll just try to make something up.
It's a weird shot in the dark.
People are bored, I think. A lot of time.
Did you see the initial tweet at all?
No, never
did. That's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. Yeah. Okay, the AAC is going to be rocking here in about 2 hours and 18 minutes. Stars going to be hosting the Coyotes. Sean Shapiro, Stars reporter, earlier tweeting that Radulov is in tonight. So Radulov is back, and good things are flowing for the Stars, even though they're coming off an overtime loss to Ottawa.
I was watching a video of just the insane skill that some of these guys have. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Pavelski. Mm-hmm. And they're just at practice. And you've got a guy just inside the blue line with like 20 pucks lined up. And he's just flipping wrist shots at him. And all they're doing is working on, all right, redirect it. He's just playing like you're in front of the net on a power play or something. And I'm going to flick it in there. And you redirect it so that we can score goals. And I'm like, I don't think I could touch that puck. No. Much less control where it goes.
Kind of like a bunt with a much smaller surface.
And with a ball that's not round.
Yeah.
It could be going any direction and flipping around, and you're just like, oh, yeah, I know exactly when to and with which part of my stick, and while moving it a certain direction, deflect it to that corner.
And you forgot having a guy behind you with a stick in the middle of your back the whole time.
Yeah,
that happens. The Stars, this will be a good matchup, though, because Arizona, the last time these two teams played, both were coming off back-to-backs. It was the second night of a back-to-back. And the Stars didn't have a lot of energy. They did not, you know, and Arizona took it to them. Arizona's in a position right now where they're kind of looking in the playoffs. They're trying to kind of make a push, and you're down to the last 20 or so games. So this will be a good one at the barn tonight.
Stars aren't in first anymore.
Oh, some points happened last night.
2 points. Okay. Yeah, St. Louis got the win last night.
St. Louis got 2 points. Time to run them back down, baby.
Absolutely.
Well, Dallas is 18-6 in their last 24 meetings between these two teams, and 14-3 in the last 17 between these two teams in Dallas. So it would be disappointing to drop back-to-back games to that side.
And the other night, I stuck around for the post game, and they were talking to Tyler Seguin, and they were talking about the way that the Stars are kind of playing hockey this year and how it's different from years prior. And you can see it in the standings, because before it was like, guys, we want to skate and score.
Yeah.
And now there's this big-time focus on playing defense. And the Stars right now are on the doorstep to first place in the West, and they have their fourth to last in goals scored.
Yeah.
But they're the best in the league at not allowing goals. So it's like this seismic shift. And they ask Seguin, like, is that better for the postseason? And he goes, yep.
Yep.
Like, we're getting ready for playoff hockey.
Outstanding goaltending is gone. The defense, they've got 8 guys. They're having to rotate. They have a healthy group of defenders. And so with Steven Johns back, they're getting a little bit of scoring for him. They're getting really some nice play in front of Ben Bishop and Khudobin and those guys. And, you know, to me, they want to kind of play a style. They're a team that does not get rattled. They will get down in a game. They were down 3-0 the other night and came back.
That was awesome.
I mean, they will find a way. You know, they'll give up the first goal. It happens to them a lot. They've been really good on the power play. They've been really bad on the power play. You know, defensively though, I think to me with the Stars, they are playing a different brand of hockey, and it's playoff style of hockey right there. It's hard hitting. It's standing at the blue line. It's not let you have easy ins or outs of your own zone. So, yeah, it's a good way of getting ready for the playoffs.
All right, the other story here, one from football. Former Bengals Pro Bowler Willie Anderson is calling the media's Joe Burrow narrative garbage. Fascinating how they can be convinced Joe Burrow really does want to come to the Bengals after everything that's been said this week.
Bengals nation is in a bunker, and they're just like, the rest of the world is stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. And they're right in one respect. He has not said, I don't want to go to the Bengals, and he has not said I won't play for them. But okay. His comments are far from pro-gung-ho, I want to be a Bengal, let's go.
Yeah, I suppose it's up for interpretation, but I'm leaning heavily that he's setting it up to never put on the Bengals uniform. Of course, the most important sports story of the day, the youth soccer club rankings are out nationally.
Oh, and how are you guys doing?
Well, we didn't make the top 100 this year, maybe next year. Okay. But FC Dallas is the number one boys youth program in America, congrats to them. And the girls' top club in the nation is Solar, another North Texas soccer outfit. So a lot of people, put their chest out a little bit, shoulders wide.
We're the best at everything.
Pretty much.
That's cool.
Yeah, if you have a kid that's interested in a sport here in North Texas, you are in a great spot to give them an opportunity to compete against some of the best. Okay, Cowboys news of the day, including an article about the 10 free agents who could be a good fit with these Cowboys. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hey, let's do it. Let's take a look at this Cowboys news of the day, an article about the 10 free agents who could be a good fit for the Cowboys. Free agency, really, by the time we get into March, is going to really heat up with teams signing their own players before they hit the market, which is March 10th, 11th, right? So early March, we should be getting a lot of news here in about 10 days or so.
I bet you guys that we start hearing some stuff coming out of the combine next week. The scoop guys will be on alert, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of things, guys meeting, talking to agents. We'll hear a few of those stories.
All righty.
Like that, the scoop guys.
Scoop guys.
Scoop guys.
I love it. Okay, segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or go online to frankelfirm.com. Before we get there, what do you guys think of the strength of schedule rankings? Obviously, everybody's schedule is pretty similar, but I think this can matter if it falls the way that that is most advantageous. And the first Cowboys news item of the day from John Breach, CBS Sports, Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys will face a strength of schedule of 45.9, which that's the winning percentage of the combined opponents from last season. That's the least difficult in the NFC.
Let's go. We're going to tear them up, except for all the surprises every year in the NFL. It's good
if everything
for now.
Stays the same.
Yeah, it's good for now, except that there will be teams that are better. And teams like last year, they got to play the AFC East, who I constantly talk about how the dynasty of the Patriots was built on that terrible division, and they went
1-3?
1-3 against it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then your division was basically the AFC East, too.
Yeah.
And you didn't win it. Mm. So, yeah, I mean,
this year it's going to be the NFC West, which is not fun.
That's not as much fun.
But they're still saying it's not bad. And then the AFC North, which could be troublesome as well with Baltimore and Pittsburgh and make a resurgent Cleveland, possibly.
Schedule's probably easy because Washington and New York are on it twice each.
Yes. Is that it?
I bet that's a big part of it.
Yeah, and even the division winner, Philadelphia, isn't that tough. So it's an opportunistic time right now to be in this division. You have an opportunity there to get in there and take advantage. Okay, elsewhere in the Cowboys news of the day, Patrick Kahn, WFAA, asked a question I've been wondering about. He looks at the draft work the Packers did under Mike McCarthy. And his trend over the last couple of years was they did a lot of drafting in secondary. But, you know, he also said, as we have heard, McCarthy didn't have a ton of say with team building in Green Bay. So how do you, what can you gather? What's fair to gather based on what the Packers have been doing in the draft for the last 14 years?
Ted Thompson. It's been all about Ted Thompson. And they just recently, you know, a couple years ago, Brian Gutekunst is now the general manager there. Ted, for a long time, had full control of what was going on. Mike McCarthy, talking to people that worked at Green Bay, really, if he trusts you as an evaluator, trust the scouts, he's going to let you draft. So, yeah, we don't know. We don't know what Will McClay, if he comes in here and trusts Will and what those guys are doing, if he's liking what he's hearing, then maybe he'll stay the heck out of the way again like he was in Green Bay. But that was all Ted Thompson and that scouting staff.
So there's no influence at all that went from McCarthy like, hey, I could really use a player like this. He was totally shut out.
Well, this is where it's going to be different for him because the general manager essentially allows the head coach to have those types of power.
He's going to go ask you.
He's going to ask you. Mm-hmm. He's going to ask. Jerry and Steven both are going to ask him, what do you think about this player? Mm-hmm. And he might not have ever had that in his career. But these guys will, if you want to take the power of personnel, they will let you take the power of personnel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So that's
my experience.
Maybe an ownership thing. You have to be careful who you're asking questions of. I mean, you could
get bad answers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, for a lot of people, you can say that's a lack of confidence in your own ability to come to the decision. I mean, you've tasked yourself as the GM.
Well, it's also, though, one of the strengths that I think, and maybe one of the weaknesses of Jerry Jones is that he's too good of a listener. That we always were worried that if we got to the last, whoever was the last person that got to him, we might be in trouble.
Yeah.
So, but he will listen to everybody who has an opinion. If he trusts you, he will continue to ask. If he doesn't trust you, you're not going to get a chance.
Well, and at times it's been a tremendous strength. Obviously, whatever they were doing from 2013 to about 2016 was amazing. So the process isn't flawed, but I do wonder about that. You know, when you're going around the room asking a bunch of different people, I'm sorry, but you know, you spent 30, 35 years on the job, come to some sort of a conclusion, or better yet, trust the people whose exact job it is. Don't go ask the janitor to come down to the garage and fix your carburetor.
No, that's where I think that Jerry, that's when it's a consensus to get the board up. Where all the fighting and stuff is going to happen is before the draft. You know, Stephen Jones will challenge those scouts. Now, wait a minute. You said this yesterday. Would you like me to read to you what you said? You know, that's where the challenge needs to happen. Yeah. Not on draft day when it's already built.
Okay, another story here in the Dallas Cowboys news of the day. We hit on this earlier during Mike Fisher's segment, but a lot of people gotten out and hadn't heard this one yet. Latest episode of the Lefko Show, Emmitt Smith coming to the side of the Cowboys. Last year, he sided with Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke, good job holding out. Get your money. This running back market is going away. This year, he's going with the Cowboys and actually issuing pretty strong words for Dak, saying he needs to understand and take a different perspective that as the face of the franchise with the Cowboys, maybe take less, get all of your players along with you, and you can make it up in endorsements.
Boy, Emmitt, that a boy. That a boy. Carry the flag. Tote the note for the squad.
So, I guess Jerry Jones owes him a favor. I don't know if that's going to have any sort of an impact, but I was wondering, how would Emmitt see it that way last year and then this way this year? And, you know, maybe some of it's team building or him wanting the organization to win a Super Bowl. And maybe there is a little bit of wisdom there with so many good players on your team. Maybe it's just bad timing for Dak to be a free agent. Maybe there's value there. But I think I go to, he's a running back first. And he has seen in his time quarterbacks go from similar money to running back to now making four times what the running back does. So from his perspective, quarterbacks are running away with all of this. You don't need all. You're not three or four times more important than me, you know. And he came around in the era and was maturing in the era of the old quarterback club, which was the NFL's way of making a completely different system of checks and balances and a budget for the quarterback. So I think it might be the privileged nature of the quarterback position and the privileged history of the quarterback position that might be directing his perspective on here, wanting to cheerlead the running back to stick him up for all the money, but then talking to the quarterback, maybe you should be sacrificing because everybody else does sacrifice for you. And I think some of it could be selfish, but also I think that's good advice for all quarterbacks to at least be aware of. You might take maximum dollar, but you should be aware that the other positions on the team are kind of looking at you like, geez, dude, you need all of the money and you never get hit. I mean, that's kind of like that positional resentment.
What has he done the last 4 years? Is that his fault? I mean, he was a fourth round pick, right? He hasn't been getting paid for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's won, I think, 40 games for you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that you could say that he's done for this organization. They missed an opportunity with him to have success or better success.
Blew it.
When he was cheaper. Yeah. Now they have to pay the note. Credit card bills due. Yeah. We're going to wash dishes here in a little bit, guys, we don't come up with this money.
It was really nice of Emmitt, though, to try to get us our quarterback at a discount, and I appreciate him doing
good
that.
Effort.
We believe we call that pocket watching, which I'm a firm believer that you should never pocket watch unless they're a running back. Because there is a salary cap, and we are trying to build the best team, but you don't pocket watch the quarterback, Emmitt. Let that man do what he does. That's Jerry's job. Jerry and Steven are going to do that. They're absolutely going to push that you don't have to get as much per year. Because you're a Cowboy, you get more in endorsements. Like, that's one of their angles, and they're going to work that angle.
Yeah,
that's their job. I don't need to do that job for them.
I think it's a great point about pocket watching, right? But also, we judge every move that an organization makes, no matter what sport it is. And we say, did that move bring me closer to celebrating a championship or not?
Yeah.
I'm not pocket watching Jalen Smith. I'm watching the fact that my team massively screwed up giving 6% of the salary cap to a linebacker on one leg.
Yeah, that's why the owners pulled a great trick with the salary cap.
Yeah.
Because that makes, that's the right stance.
Yeah.
And it's basically anti-player, pro-ownership, but everybody's interest is to have the best team you can.
Yeah.
And the way to get the best team I can is for all of you to take really friendly deals. Yeah. So now it's not just that the ownerships have cost certainty. They have turned us against the players.
They have.
Because we want to see them win.
Absolutely.
We want to see you win. So no, don't pay that guy.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation's Cowboys News of the Day. Jeffrey's unnamed segment of the day, 10 minutes away. That means we have time for another story here. John Mashoda in the Morning News with a fun article. 10 free agents who could fit well in Dallas. And I'll go through these guys. Stop me when there's a player you want to talk about as a fit or if you have something else to say about any of these players. Number one on his list is the defensive tackle at 310 pounds. He was in Detroit last year, Mike Daniels. He has missed a combined 15 games over the last three seasons, but despite those injuries, has played pretty well as Mike Daniels, former Packer. And there's going to be a theme there of former Packers on this list. That interest you?
I mean, I remember watching Mike Daniels, and I think after watching him when the Cowboys were getting ready to play the Packers at one point, I think I texted Broadus, and I was like, man, this what number was he wearing?
93.
I was like, man, this dude's a monster.
Yeah.
People don't talk about him a lot, but he's a monster. I don't know that he's still that level of player, and obviously injury risks worry you, but if that becomes a, quote, bottom-of-the-barrel signing, because he's getting up there in age, he's been banged up, if you could do a one-year cheap deal, I'll take Mike Daniels on my football team.
Yeah, I need to watch more Mike play. I don't mean to, as a cop-out, but when he was with the Packers, he had that ability. He was disruptive as a player. You had to respect that about him.
Well, he was in Detroit last year, and after about week 7 or week 8, they essentially became anonymous.
Absolutely.
I think they lost out after Stafford got hurt. Defensive back Demaryius Randall, drafted by the Packers in 2015. He was a first-rounder at corner. He had 10 picks in his first 3 years. Then he was traded to the Bengals, played well in 18 as a safety, but didn't produce like that last year. Last year was bad. So this could be like one of those fallen angels, a guy that might have some value in trying to rebuild a career. If you could get a former first-round pick like that for fairly cheap, and maybe he could play corner, maybe he could play safety. You do have some kind of sort of a double needs there back there.
Do need corners. It seems like a lot of these names are guys that when I think of them, I'm picturing a free safety. And I think the Cowboys have their free safety. And then I'm also going to campaign for him to pick Grant Delpit if they trade down in the draft, so I'm going to be a hypocrite here. But I don't know. I just don't feel like that's the fit you're looking for.
He was a reach to begin with at Green Bay. It was a bad pick.
Yeah.
If you're spending money with limited resources, you got to be checking a lot of boxes. I could definitely go with. How about tight end Richard Rodgers? Packers drafted him in 2015. He had 58 catches in 2015, but then he went to the Eagles and got lost and hasn't done much since. I think that would be the kind of tight end because it would be so cheap and you've produced in the past. We like Jarwin, but we kind of want to have another option of somebody that could step up and do some things, right? Give you multiple bullets to fire at that problem.
Blake Jarwin's my chosen one right now.
Okay.
I'm not bringing in anybody that threatens my chosen one's playing time. He is my jerks and Profar. Jarwin needs to get his shine on. I don't need a veteran coming in here thinking he's competing for playing time. If I want somebody to compete with him, I'll draft somebody.
Okay. Dalton Schultz it is then.
Ah, they're yes. Buddies. See, not a threat to Jarwin.
Dalton and Blake. There We're you safe. Go, guys. How about Ha Ha Clinton Dix, the safety, Green Bay, and then went to Washington? Had a pretty good year, right? But never realized his first round potential.
I think of him as a free safety.
Yeah.
It's just a
bad tackling one at that.
Yeah. And like, so I tell you what one of my ideas would be for this team, because they're going to be looking for cost certainty and cheap deals. Xavier Woods didn't break out last year, but I did think he was solid. I'd extend him. I would try to sneak out one of your Tyrone Crawford deals where they try to get a guy early. And it's like, well, you know, you're not great. You don't get a bunch of money, Xavier Woods. 3 years, $21 million. What do you think? And if you can get something like that signed, I'll get some cost certainty at safety, and then I'll find my other guy.
And how comfortable would you be there, Brian? Is Xavier Woods the kind of guy you want a second contract on?
So damn wrong about him.
Oh, what a hater. He was okay. He wasn't bad.
Isn't that starting quality?
Oh, I thought that the guy would, have interceptions, get his hands on a lot of balls, tackle well,
Look, if the guys in front of him would have just done their job, he could have done his job.
How about him do his job, too?
He was back there trying to fix everything for all these guys up here just willy-nilly.
He got a defensive staff fired, I think, by not playing his assignments.
Ooh.
You just blamed Xavier Woods for the whole defensive staff getting fired,
I'm just
fired,
telling
sir.
You, though, there's guys on that defensive staff, on that defense that didn't do their jobs, and that's why you don't have a staff here anymore.
He just went upside your head, Jeff. How's it working out for you
now? He went upside Xavier Woods' head. He just put all those coaches' heads on him.
I think it was both your heads.
Players are responsible for the coaching staff.
Sure.
They finished 8-8.
I put it on the D tackles and the linebackers more than the free safety.
He was part of it.
All righty. You guys done?
Yeah, I'll let him take
it. Because I'm enjoying it.
I'll let him get the last word.
Let me get in here.
In the break.
John Machota, Morning News. Free agent Fitz. Greg Zuerlein, the kicker. That'd be cool.
No, he can kick it too far.
Okay.
That lets your coaching staff be cowards and settle for 56-yard field goals. No, I want Kai Forbath, who's going to kick it from 44.
Carl Joseph, the safety with the Raiders. He's looking for a change of scenery. Yeah, a little bit more.
We liked him in the draft.
Sure did.
We liked him.
And Ndamukong Suh is now 33 years old. He could plug up that middle for you pretty good. And Ibrahim Campbell is a safety for possible depth. Played in 10 games last couple of years for the Packers, but pretty much been, not that impressive.
You don't have a list of, like, the bottom 10 free agents in the league, do you? Because that's where they're going to pull one from.
Bottom fishing again?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Jeff, we're heading out towards your unnamed segment of the day. Where are we going with that?
Gil Brandt broke the internet next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation. A little bit of breaking news. NFL playoff structure is about to be changed. With Adam Schefter here reporting, under the current CBA proposal, 7 teams from each conference will make the playoffs with only 1 bye per conference.
Oh, we were robbed.
Sources telling ESPN it would go into effect this upcoming season. More coming on ESPN.com. I've retweeted that at Gavin Dawson, and that is the real Adam Schefter. I don't know. That's interesting. So apparently they'll be able to get at least this part of a deal done without having to have the new CBA totally ratified. Or would this be if the new CBA comes in? I want to hear some more from Adam Schefter on this.
Yeah, it says under the current CBA proposal, so I would imagine they have to get that approved, the whole thing, if they want to do that. And I want to see, would we have made it last year? How would we have done, guys? Would we have been in this thing? We got one more team in?
I doubt it.
5-6. Oh, no, the Rams were 9-7.
Yeah.
Dang,
but you beat the Rams. You beat them.
Yeah, but we were 8-8. They were 9-7.
Oh, were they 9-7? Yeah, I thought for some reason they were 8-8, too. My bad.
Son of a biscuit.
Does significantly raise the odds, though, of continuing to get in. Is there value of being the 6-7 team? There hasn't been lately. I mean, it's been all division winners and the top teams marching to the championship games.
Tennessee?
Yeah, I guess they got close.
Yeah, close.
Yeah. Tennessee got in the championship game.
But it's just different than when Baltimore and New York was doing it and Green Bay was doing it. We were getting hit with a lot of them. But the later the CBA goes, the more separation has occurred. Okay, here we go. It's Jeff Kavanaugh's unnamed segment of the day.
Gil Brandt has become quite a fire starter with his NFL topics. And I like it for around the NFL sometimes. But today, he's crossed the line. Gil Brandt, we talked about how they had the top 5 quarterbacks in Cowboys history. I think it was in the Dallas Morning News or something with a bunch of different people voting on it. And Gil, as the upstanding fine citizen that he is, has released his top 5 that was factored into the Cowboys' top 5 quarterbacks in history.
I think all voters need to release their ballots.
They need to be public. Everybody's got to go public here.
Segment each.
At number 5, Tony Romo. So he got Tony into the top 5, which is accurate, and it's the way that it should be.
Good job, Gil.
At 4, Danny White, the fourth best quarterback in Cowboys history, according to Gil. At 3.
Yeah, these are a formality, right?
Dak Prescott, best quarterback of all time. At 2 is Troy Aikman, and 1 is Roger Staubach. And poor, sweet Don Meredith has just been pushed off the Cowboy Mount Rushmore plus 1 and plunged into the ocean like off of a pirate ship. Don Meredith is no longer top 5, and Dak is number 3, and Romo is number 5.
For the final time, we can say, turn out the lights, the party's over. For Don as a top 5 quarterback in Cowboys history. At least for Gil Brandt, something tells me Brian Broaddus might take exception with that. For me, I didn't see the guy play. He was done playing before I was born, and it's really difficult to compare quarterbacks across eras. So
I thought that was a Romo joke. Cross errors. Interceptions.
I would say I respect Gil's ballot because he at least watched them play and was a pro evaluator. And if he wants to put Dak ahead of Don Meredith, who am I to say otherwise?
I don't appreciate Dak being ahead of Romo. That's all I'll say about this.
It sounds very much like a guy doing a favor for another guy.
Huh. Whatever do you mean, Brian?
Well, guy got in the Ring of Honor, guy got in the Hall of Fame. you know, some things going on there. I'm surprised he turned his back on Don Meredith. You know, he did go to a couple of NFL championship games with him.
Is Don Meredith still with us?
He is not.
Oh, man, you disrespected a man who's no longer with us, Gil.
But I, you know, to me, I can't understand. I understand the argument. And there's people to argue about Troy Aikman because of his numbers and stuff like
that. Yeah, stats don't look good.
Yeah, stats don't look good. You know, he played an era where they were running the football. They had the type of players, this, that, and the other. I'll tell you one thing. I know one thing about Troy Aikman. I never seen a quarterback as accurate as him playing against. I'm still on the sideline many a game.
I don't know, Brian. His completion percentage was lower than Dak's.
Yeah,
he was throwing it a lot farther.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. That to me, though, you look at the situation with Troy Aikman and hitting those slants.
Yeah, he was throwing it to guys getting mugged with no flags, is what
Bang
he was throwing.
Bang all that stuff that they were running. They were
getting decapitated after you catch it.
Every time we came to play him, I think I'm 0-7 against him lifetime. You know, yeah,
it's a tough break.
It is.
They were on a roll. That was imposing. You know, looking back, I look at some of the records of those teams, and I was like, how did they lose that many games? It felt like it was overwhelming a lot of Sundays.
Yeah, they were. I tell you what, we couldn't beat them. But this sounds like to me, I if the argument's going to come down to Romo and Prescott, and we've talked about that a bunch, I get that. But I feel like, you know, he's for Gil. He's the one guy that would know Don Meredith better than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen Don Meredith play. I was like a little kid, but and his career was way short. But NFL championships before Super Bowls, you know, that holds some weight with me. And I know it's a different era of football. There's what, 12 teams or so, and they're traveling on train or whatever. I'm just saying though that it's surprising to me that he went that route.
Staubach's my number one of all time for any team because I played catch with him and he could still sing it. I don't know how old he is, but about 6 years ago, I played catch with him.
Just had a birthday.
Well, he can still sling it.
75 or 76, maybe?
All right, guys. In more important news, I want to tell you this. This is probably the biggest story of the day. Saved by the Bell star, Lark Voorhees. She's expressed her hurt at not being invited to join the reunion of the Classic High School series. I'm sure you guys were both really big Saved by the Bell fans as...
I saw a lot of the episodes because my sister is more in your age range, and she would be all about that.
Well, there's a reboot coming of Saved by the Bell. It will have Elizabeth Berkley, a.k.a. Jesse Spano. You probably saw her in
Coyote
Showgirls.
Ugly? Oh, Showgirls.
Yeah, you probably saw her in Showgirls.
Yeah, she did quite well.
Mario Lopez, a.k.a. A.C. Slater, will be in the reboot. And, of course, Mark Paul Gosselaar, a.k.a. Zach Morris. They'll all be in it. But no Lisa Turtle, no Lark Voorhees. She went on U.S. show Dr. Oz. Anybody familiar with Dr. Oz?
Yes, because it's on when I was not working. That was one of those shows I was like watching every once in a while.
Well, she went on there and she said, I have to admit, I did feel a bit slighted and hurt when I was not invited to be part of the Saved by the Bell reunion, as well as other cast members' events. I have to admit, I did feel a bit slighted and hurt. She believes that her bipolar disorder might be part of their decision, which, if that's the case, we need to sue the reboot. You can't be holding people's mental health diagnoses against them.
No, but what happens when the mental health leads to behavior that's really unstable for a job environment?
You just get your meds right. Okay. Just make sure you got your meds right. Go to your therapies.
Because I also saw she said she has schizoactive thought disorder.
Okay.
And I was genuinely going to ask you, like,
another med.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Listen, I don't get to diagnose people. I don't know, Gavin. I just have my own things.
Too medicated for the show, maybe?
Oh, no. I don't know.
But when you're getting something like this together, it's like, well, why isn't that person going? And in this elevated era of awareness about mental health, it's like, well, they act out when they get around us. It's like, well, if you're, you know, if you really want to walk the walk, you kind of got to embrace that and be like, yeah. You know, let's have a mental episode over there.
Screech didn't get the invite either. That one makes a little bit more sense because...
Well, he might stab you.
Yeah, he stabbed somebody. I don't know if you know Screech.
Yeah, wild-looking guy.
He was the...
Dustin Diamond, right?
Yeah, he was the nerd on the show. Mm-hmm. And I think the bullying on the show probably led to him lashing out in real life when he stabbed a guy.
It probably led to people that saw him in real life feeling like they could bully him.
Yeah.
So it was just nonstop.
Hey, Screech, and he was like, yeah, let me tell you, I bought a $14 knife at the gas station, and I can get it into your gut.
And I'm really good at Taekwondo, too, if you want to fight.
Synopsis for the new show.
Okay.
When California Governor Zach Morris.
I knew he was going places.
Gets into hot water for closing too many low-income high schools. He proposes they send the affected students to the highest performing schools in the state, including Bayside High, which is where Zach and them went. The influx of new students gives the overprivileged Bayside kids a much-needed and hilarious dose of reality.
I like it. That's a good storyline. Yeah.
It'll be on the streaming service Peacock.
Oh. What's
that?
Is that the NBC one because of their logo?
I think you're right.
They're all starting them now. You know, the CBS, they did one, and they had this great show, Picard, with the Star Trek Next Generation captain. Being a backstory on him or something like that.
There we found something you guys know about.
They want $10 a month. So
you got to bring a lot to the table for me to add you to all the other things that I borrow passwords for. You know, because nobody else has Peacock. I'd have to pay for yours.
Yeah.
I don't pay for the other one.
This streaming thing sounded like a great idea when they started it. We were going to be able to save money by cutting the cord, and your cable bill is now $30. But it was just a matter of time before the. Now it's going to be like, oh, how many channels do you want? 30. That's $300. Something like that.
Yeah. Well,
plus, you got to have your Netflix.
That's the problem is you've got your Netflix, your ESPN Plus, your Disney Plus, your Hulu, your whatever, Peacock.
It's gone full a la carte, and I would now say the average consumer is paying more than the old days with cable.
Because
one of those things pops up and you can't go without it.
It just depends how many passwords you can get from other people.
Oh, okay.
Before the crackdown. Crackdown's what's going to hit us.
That's coming. Yeah, we're going to have like a universal sign-in that's pretty much your fingerprint.
Yeah, the crackdown's going to tear us up. Because right now it's like you can go on 5 different things. And it's like, oh, there's only 2 being used at that house? Well, tell me what's going on there. And finally, Constance Wu. Do you know her, the actress?
No.
She was in the movie Hustlers with Jennifer Lopez, where they were all strippers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there a theme going on here?
What?
A theme.
What do you mean?
Strippers and stuff like that?
No.
With, you know, didn't you say in this previous
the Saved by the Bell? Oh, Jesse Spano was a stripper in the movie. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
This lady, she was in Crazy Rich Asians, and then she went on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Another afternoon show after Dr. Oz.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very talented gal. I see her now.
She revealed that part of her prep for the role, she did go dance at a strip club.
Good for her.
Yeah, she said, yeah, I worked at a strip club to get ready for Hustlers, went undercover, gave lap dances to strangers.
Yeah, I'll take a 2 for Tuesday.
She said, I'm not lying. I made $600, my friend. I'm not being funny. And it was not funny. I put fake tattoos on my neck, changed my hair. You can't duplicate the first time you walk into a club and say, hey, I'd like to have a job here. And then you go work that night. But she did it. I believe that is, what do they call that? When you really dig into the role like that?
Oh, what is that? It's getting into character?
Character acting or I forget. But anyway.
Very professional.
Congratulations to her. And she does play somebody named Destiny in that movie with Jennifer Lopez because very that funny. Is the most generic stripper name of all time.
All right. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan as the nosebleed seats are getting ready to take over at 7 o'clock. And at the very moment, Reggie Attitullo has just sauntered into studio and is staring down Kavanaugh right into his
method
soul.
Method acting.
Method acting.
There it is.
Yes. Inspired by Method Man in the movie How High. That's where it came from. Yeah.
Yes. And everybody that tunes into the KNC Masterpiece knows that if there is any grammatical or sort of a dictionary type of need on the show, Reggie's got you covered.
Yes.
Right there. He's a walking encyclopedia on this type of stuff. Okay. When we come back, what's on 105 through the fan.com?